We were discussing yesterday how we reconcile whether rabbinic law is binding in error. So we said from the pasuk, from the Sifri, that you follow the rabbis even when they tell you left is right and right and left appears. We follow them even when they're in error. But in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Krisis, we see, no, you don't. If it's a mistake, you have to bring a carbon and correct the mistake. And we said, the Ramban said, well, it depends. If you think they're making a mistake, don't worry. You don't know anything. They know more than you follow them. But the Mishnah Krisis thing, when they actually made a mistake, when the Talmud Chacham, other people point out to them they made an error, so then, you're right, then they have to bring a carbon. So if they so according to A1, yeah, it's not binding an error, but the fact you think they're in error doesn't mean anything. And the second approach was from Moshe Glasner, was it depends if the original psak was based on true information and later on things change, then you follow left is right, you follow them anyway. But if what they was based on erroneous info, so then you don't follow them. So that's what we were discussing, the Gemara in Shabbos, about a horeg esakina. That someone, we said, you can't kill human beings, you can't murder human beings all week long. Animals you could kill during the week, but you can't kill them on Shabbos. So how come you could kill lice on Shabbos? How come they're different than cows? So the Gemara seems to say, because animals come from a mommy, from a reproductive system to their living beings. But lice come from schmutz, from dirt, so therefore they're not considered beings, so therefore there's no problem. It's not killing, they're not alive, so therefore it's not an issue. So we pointed out the problem is that Louis Pasteur came around and said, he was the final word, it's been going on beforehand, but he was the conclusive proof that there is no spontaneous generation. No animals come from schmutz, all animals come from eggs, amami. So how do we reconcile, how do we deal with this Gemara in Shabbos? If the Gemara in Shabbos says killing lice on Shabbos is permitted because, it seems to say, because of spontaneous generation, and we know today that spontaneous generation is false, so how does Halacha deal with it? So according to Rav Moshe Glasner, he says it's not a problem because during the time of the Gemara that was the accepted science, so therefore we still keep the Halacha. So according to Rav Moshe Glasner, there is no problem. We still can continue killing lice because since it was based on the science at the time, it was true, so it's okay. Others, there's a minority view, it says that, okay, that since today, if the whole halacha is based on spontaneous generation, and we don't believe it anymore, okay, so the halacha has changed, you can no longer kill lice anymore. There are those opinions that say that. The Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Yitzchak Huttner, but Rav Isaac, I think, Laprenti, he wrote an encyclopedia. He discusses, he goes through the issue there. So how do we explain, for those who say it's still permitted today, how do we reconcile science with halacha? Like, what do you mean? Halacha is based on erroneous science. So basically, how do you deal with this issue? How do you deal with an issue where the Gemara seems to say something, halacha is based on some science thing which is no longer true? So do we accept the science, or like how do we deal with it? So there are different ways of dealing. Even if you want to come out and say it's mutter, there are different ways of dealing with it. So one way is Rav Shlomo Zalman deals with it in a different way. He says the Gemara never believed in spontaneous generation, even though it appears that way from the simple reading of the Gemara and the way the Rambam. What he says is like this. No, of course everyone knew nothing grows from schmutz, it goes from eggs. So why did they say it if everyone knew it? So what did they mean then? So he explains as follows, something very halach l'maisa in other areas. We know there's a biblical prohibition to eat bugs. you know, not that you're going to get, not that that's such a turn on that you'd want to eat bugs. We normally try to avoid bugs, even if I wasn't Jewish or religious, like who wants to eat bugs? I still remember back in the day, must have been in the 60s movie, 70s, Steve McQueen, he was in jail, I think they were eating cockroaches, that was a big treat, I think. Not for me, it wasn't. Even before I knew about it, I don't need anyone to tell me not to eat bugs. I'm pretty good on my own. I have that intuitive knowledge, but somehow, might be missing, lacking in other areas, but on bugs, somehow I intuit I shouldn't be eating bugs. The issue is, of course, we're not talking about someone actually, of course it applies to them, someone actually taking the bugs and eating them. Today, we're well aware that there might be bugs in certain vegetables, especially different leafy lettuces. And you know what? They throw in the bugs free. They don't even charge for the bugs. So the question is, gets into a whole, the whole concept of checking. We have to go in, you know, there's a different rule. So if it's a 51% chance or more that you have a bug in this lettuce, let's say, you're obligated min ha-Torah to check. If it's less than 50%, so then you only have a rabbinical obligation to check. You still have to check, but it's rabbinical in nature. And let's go with 10%. The number changes depending on which opinion you take, but it's based on the Rishonim in the beginning of Chul and the Ramban, because we know there's something called glatt kosher. Some people like saying glatt kosher for dairy. It doesn't make any sense because they obviously don't know what glatt kosher. Glatt means it's really referring to the neck, the throat where they do the shechita. So a glatt means that it's very, you could still be kosher. It's not 100% smooth, but you could see it's not a problem. Glatt kosher is, it's like smooth. That's people are wondering where all the glatt came from, you know, in the past. Like Rav Soloveitchik used to like to say, and he was, among many other things, he gave the hashkacha in, like in one of the butcher shops in Boston. So he used to say, he used to use every kool in the book, coolest people didn't even know about, and he said he came up with a certain percent, you know, are going to be trafers no matter what. And certainly he couldn't find any, you know, very little glatt. So he said, but the butcher shop across the street claimed, you know, he was lucky, he said, if we could find kosher meat, forget about glatt kosher. And the butcher shop across the street was always saying, we have glatt kosher meat. He said, yeah, glatt kosher treif meat. That's what he said. It wasn't even kosher, that meat. But so basically, glatt kosher means when you do the slaughtering, it's smooth, so therefore you know there's no problems, there's no holes in the lungs and that, and any lesions. So they point out that he used to go every kula and then he used to check them. So the Ramban writes, there are many trafes to check for in the body. Why do we only, let's see, I think he says they're like, I don't know, 30, 50, 70, I forget, a big amount, a big number, he says. Yeah, we only check for the trafes on the lung. How come? So that's what the Ramban writes, because that's the only one which is a miyad ha-matzoy. In other words, miyad means a widow, matzoy means you find. In other words, let's say a miyad ha-matzoy would be, is, you know, like you ask someone, how many Jews are there in Toronto? So let's say, I don't know, a couple of million. Then when you tell them, though, maybe a couple hundred thousand. But if you live on Bathurst and Lawrence, it's a miyad ha-matzoy. It looks like there are a lot of Jews, but there aren't. But, you know, in terms of numbers, so let's assume the number is 10%. So based on the Ramban, so we said if over 50%, you're biblically obligated to check. Less than 50%, you're rabbinically obligated to check. Less than 10%, so it's not even a miyad ha-matzoy, so then you wouldn't have to check. So if certain vegetables have a less than 10% chance to have bugs in them, one would not be obligated to check. You could assume they're good. So, so we, So the efforts of the Rav Soloveitchik, that's how he was, he looked for every kula and all of that. So that's the 10%. Less than 10% is a miyad amatze. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says as follows. He says, forget about all those halakas which are true. What about right now? As I'm talking, I'm probably swallowing many microscopic bugs. I probably don't want to know about them as they're going into my mouth, and I'm swallowing them. So every second I'm over a biblical prohibition of eating bugs? Like what? I thought it's prohibited to eat bugs. So for Shlomo Zalman writes, no, it's only bugs that the human eye could see. You're not obligated to take out a microscope and check for bugs. If the Torah is not given to angels, it's given to human beings. So if I can't see them, I'm going to close my eyes. That doesn't help. You're closing your eyes and not looking. But assuming it's a bug that is invisible to the naked eye, so that bug is a kosher bug. You're allowed to eat them. So he says, that's the pshat in the Gemara. Of course the Gemara knew. Are you kidding me? Of course Chazal knew about the no such thing as spontaneous generation. What did it mean? She'eino parah rava? No, they knew it was. It did happen through eggs and reproduction. But what he said, what the Gemara is saying is, since it's not visible to the naked eye, these lice things are so small, you can't see the eggs, you can't see that it's coming from an egg, so therefore they're not considered like living beings. But not the fact, of course they knew there was a concept, they didn't think the bugs just came out of nowhere, but that's how he explains. Jeno Parah Rava was so small that it couldn't be seen, and that's what he learns the Gemara. So that's why he says, the reason why you could kill lice on Shabbos, they always knew about spontaneous generation. It didn't exist. But the reason why, because these bugs are so small, they don't warrant, they're not considered, these lice are in a problem because they're tiny and they couldn't be seen, the eggs and all that from the naked eye. In fact, that's what's similar, like, in other words, it's a halachic reality. Like the halacha is on mushrooms. What bracha do you make on mushrooms? Do you make a shahako on mushrooms? Hashak, what happened to Adama? I thought they come from the ground. They do. But Chazal tell us, and we wouldn't know unless they told us, but they get the nutrition from the air around it. If a scientist does a test today, he'll tell me, no, they do get nutrition from the ground. So I could say, well, the scientist doesn't know what he's talking about, but I won't tell. I'll say, yeah, I agree, the scientist does know what he's talking about. But the halakhic reality is telling me it's true. It does get some benefit from the ground, but the halakha is saying that's not significant. The main growth of this mushroom is because the air around it, and we don't view it as growing, even though it's physically in the ground, but since we don't view it halakhically as it getting, therefore we make a shahako. So it's the same thing here. Reality, of course the bugs come from eggs and all that, but if they're so tiny and small, that's what it means. That's the result. So Shlomo Zalman, it's not a problem. Of course we believe in that spontaneous generation. Chazal knew that. What do you think? Chazal didn't know the Aleph Beis? That's one approach. Another approach is Rav Dessler. Also, Rav Dessler didn't agree to the halacha, and I want to agree to the science also. He'll say like this. Let's say he talks about a Gemara in Chulin. I think the Gemara is talking about a wildcat. It used to be the Hamilton Wildcats? I don't know. Now it still is?
The Tiger.
Tiger Cats. Was it one time the Wildcats? Either way. The Wildcats. So the Gemara says if the Tiger Cats, the Wildcats, call them, it depends where you are, what you call them. So it says if you got bit, I think if this wildcat bit another animal, the animal would die. This other animal would die within the year, or, you know, die. So the Gemara writes, why? Because this wildcat excretes venom, like the snake, when it bites you, and therefore goes into the animal, and the animal dies. That's what the Gemara says. So later on, scientists proved that's not why. We found out there is no venom in the wild cat. So how do we deal with it then? So Rav Dessler says, no. The Gemara's halacha is true. Whatever the Gemara is saying is true. That when a wild cat attacks another animal, an animal does die within the year or whatever. Okay. So yeah, we embrace science. We want to speak to the scientists at the time and say, okay, thank you, there's no venom? Okay, so tell me, what is it? So the new scientific evidence, they'll tell you, great, you know why it happens? Because the claws go deep into the skin and they cause infection, and that's why they die. Okay, so the point being is, there's no problem. We're embracing the science and technology. So the halakha, that coin, that's Beruach HaKodesh. Chazal had, it wasn't just based on what, God led them, won't led them astray. So when they paskin the Shaila in the Gemara, the halakha is going to be true. Okay, that reason doesn't apply. Okay, so you're right. But we'll just come up, we'll speak to the scientists at a time. And I'll tell you, you explain to me why this happens. Okay, good. So it's this reason, but that doesn't change the halakha of the, similarly here, So maybe some could, maybe some will argue that maybe in the time of the Gemara, you could some might want to argue in the Shtana HaTeva, times have changed. It's not a problem. The lights in the time of the Gemara are different than the lights we have now. The lights in the time of the Gemara, maybe they came from Shmutz. But the lights we have today, as you know, in all the stitches, when you're trying to get the lights out of the air, that gets onto more fundamental questions. When science and Torah collide, how do we reconcile? So therefore, the many different approaches. Obviously, some schools of thought, okay, what's the problem? Reject the science. Of course, who cares about the science? Others say, who cares about the halacha if I'm just following science? Others say, and then you have the middle ground, and no, we take science seriously, and we take halacha seriously, and we try to reconcile. We're going to come up with different approaches to explain why it doesn't go against, modern science. And those are the different approaches of, the Gedolim throughout the years, reconcile, whether it's Haroi Kina, like with Shlomo Glasner's approach, or you have the Shlomo Zalman, that they're not the microscopic. You had the Rav Dessler, and you have others, Nishtana Teva, how you deal with different issues in terms of when science and Torah collide. Questions?